Good morning, saints. It's good to be in the Lord's house with you. Today's a special day. You may or may not know it, but you will in just a minute. There's so much activity going on the planet right now. It can overwhelm you because the internet makes it seem like it's right in your house. And consequently, with me, so it's sort of about me, we let what overwhelms us and commands our attention, it takes our attention away from other things of greater importance. We forget that the way is straight and narrow, and few be there that find it. Now, we were born again in Jesus. We're part of the few who are blessed with that. Nothing exceptional about us. We just are sinners who found grace and are saved. And our responsibility is now is to let that light shine into this dark world where people are overwhelmed with bad and horrible and this. It's all negative. Have you noticed that? You can't get anything beneficial just by human beings who don't have Christ in their heart. It's easy for them to get overwhelmed and influenced and be a part of something that does no good. Well, not today. Today we're going to do some good. Today we're going to try to leave emotion out of it, but emotion will come and it's welcome. God created the human senses. He just didn't create us to have faith based on it. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to go back to more of a Bible study or Bible declaration more so than a sermon. And even, Mark, when I go off script, I've got notes to get back on here. So. But I thank you, Pastor, for the privilege to share today. I appreciate it. Bow your heads with me just for a moment, please. We love you, Lord. And we lift our voice to worship you, praise you. And even in this time, and in times when things are great or seem to be great, we know that there's a lot of pain in the world, a lot of suffering in the world, a lot of darkness. Not just out there, but at our doorstep, in our homes, in the lives of people we love dearly. Horrible darkness that needs the light shown in. And you know, Lord, you've showed us that you're the brightness of that light. You are the light. You illuminated all of creation before there was even a sun or before it was even named. You are light and no darkness is hidden you whatsoever. Today, Lord, we hope to reach the place clearly that you shared with me for us to be, to rise, to cause hope to rise, to cause the positive to rise, to affect ourselves, affect our feelings in a way that they are affected in a good way, to affect our bodies in a way that, oh my goodness, there's healing here. I need to let it in, to let our mind say this is where the battlefield is and we win. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share with you about faith. I don't think I've heard anyone who talks about faith, whoever could stand up in front of anyone and say, I'm an expert to this, I'm the doctor of faith in my biblical studies, I've never heard of that. I'd probably want to go the other direction from somebody who would say that. Because as endless as God's love and mercy is, the forever enduring of that, faith is also that way. There'll be a day, though, that we won't have to believe in him by faith because we're going to be standing right in front of him and we will see the scars, the history lessons to remind us of the wonderful salvation and all the other great benefits that we get from Christ. So faith, as we're going to talk about it now, is not something that will go on eternal in this context, but we are in a dispensation, in a season, in a time where we need to draw our swords and wield that word of God in faith and fight back against enemies that are attacking our loved ones and our home, and our churches. And I hope to do that by ringing this clarion bell for you today. I'm going to give you a scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And then after that, we're going to go to Hebrews. And I'll get somebody guess what chapter we're going to talk about there. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lead not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The all your heart is a very important phrase there. And lean not to your own understanding. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Excuse me. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And that last part of the sentence, they talk that way that we have to dig a little and pay attention to what he's trying to say there. What he's saying is, in other words, the things that are seen were made by things that are invisible to the naked eye. That's kind of the point he wanted to make there. Everything we see, everything that exists because of faith. Whose faith? God's faith. Faith, when you're talking about it being God, is simply a command to creation. A command. God's faith is a command to creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And all in Genesis 1, you can read it. If you want a King James, I love the King James in that chapter. It says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. Another chapter, and what is it? And God said, everything from animals to air to the moon. And God said, be, and they all were. He did that with full faith in his heart. Why, God had faith? Well, sure. He believes in us a great deal. He has faith in us too. Why? It took the blood of Jesus to make us eligible for that, but he does have faith in us. But everything he did, he in his heart, just like how we have faith in our heart, I'm going to try to bridge this for us today. In the heart of God, there was a will and a want and a desire. And true faith happens. What faith does is when it's put into action, it becomes real. It becomes not just evidence that we don't see, but it affects the things we do see. That's why we're living on an earth. That's why we're human beings. That's why we have all the animals and the air and the sparrows and the food and all of this stuff. And if you ever get in a conversation with someone who says, there is no God, I don't believe in a God at all. Well, okay, then let's talk about the Big Bang. What came from the Big Bang? Well, it just happened. Nothing caused it. Nothing caused it. And I find it interesting that how precisely accurate that nothing, and there's plenty of nothing right here, just stand still for a minute. You're not doing anything. Nothing. Boom, whoa, what was that? The universe, wow. That pizza must have settled the wrong place or something. God, in the purest, the highest, holiest place where the word faith is you, he said, let there be light. There was. And what happened, he didn't just throw it out and say, well, I wonder how it's going to show up. He knew exactly what it was going to be. It's not like, let there be light. It might be a fireworks display. Boy, I've got to go get me some popcorn and watch it. No. He saw in his mind, in his soul, the desire that he wanted to happen in his heart. And what he did, and we'll talk about this a little because I don't want you to get the wrong influence what I'm saying here. He confessed with his mouth the light with a picture of what it was supposed to be, and it occurred exactly as he said it. Couldn't come from nothing. Where did nothing come from? Nothing. Go to bed. we have to talk about some substance here. And he said, we'll make man. God spoke in Genesis, spoke everything by faith that it came into existence. It wasn't magic. It wasn't hokey pokey. It wasn't because he said it enough, gritted his teeth in real hard or whatever. He just commanded, and thus it was so. That's a wonderful lesson for us. We can depend on that. There's purpose, there's structure, there's wisdom in God's ability and God, what he's done with his faith to create. And what he created also, he didn't just say it. He said, let us make man in our image. Make man. And that's rather than just say, okay, man be. Nope. He formed man from the dust of the earth. Formed. We don't have to be really so spiritual we can't figure this out. He just used his hands and made what I'd call like a G.I. Joe, I guess. I don't know. Made a man. Formed a man. And it said, then he breathed into that man, and man became a living soul, a person with a mind and a reason and thinking. He also became a living physical individual. First one ever. And God did that with his hands. But it's just laying there, a lumpity bump, nothing going on. What am I going to do with this thing? He held him up like this. This is the book of Kurt here, so don't listen. And said, man, become a living soul. And man did. He breathed the word, be alive. That body had no choice but for life to happen in it. A little bang, boom, in the heart, on purpose, with a purpose. And when it was time for there to be a help meet, a helper, a person with him, God formed a woman. What, did he go over here and get a better piece of dirt? You know, we made this man out of dirt here. This is kind of a rough place. Let's go where the nice dirt is. We'll filter it out. No. He put the man to sleep and formed the woman right out of the side of this dude. I'm pretty sure it healed up because I can't see Adam walking around with a big old missing spot here. I don't even know how big it was. We always think in such physical terms. Who knows? But the woman became a living soul. The man was, and there we are, created in the image of an eternal God, full of the love of him which is in us, full of all these things, and also full of faith. But you say, well, I didn't have to have faith. He walked with God in what the Bible says, the cool of the day. They walked around together. He was, yep. Well, why would he have to have faith? Because, I mean, God was right there. Don't you have to kind of guess and hope if you don't have faith because you can't see it? No. We missed the whole point there. Faith happens all the time in the world of the spirit. I'm not talking about mystical stuff. I'm talking about the spirit world where Abba lives, where Father is. Jesus is there right now, seated at the right hand, giving everyone who comes in a standing ovation when they come in. Welcome to my home. He's there. But here on the earth, we're here. We have all of this that God created us in his image, this faith, but it's a perfect world. How would we ever use faith? Well, they just lived in it. They just flowed in it. They were conditioned. We use the word groomed today about certain things, how people get groomed to accept certain things, to be certain things. I wouldn't use that word, but he was preparing the man and the woman to completely rely on him. And it took the ability of men as they gained knowledge and education. I don't know how all that happened to Adam and Eve. But they were this close with God. They were one with him. They were walking with him. All of the wisdom and the wonder and the joy. I pictured Book of Kurt again. God talking back and forth. This is what we do, whatever. And then he said to him, now, as true to his nature, Satan. Now the serpent was more subtle, and you know the rest of it. And here he is. And what happened? God told them, of any tree you can eat the fruit of, but not this one, not here. And obedience, right? There was nothing else ever challenged them. But then there was a challenge because for God's own purposes, only he knows, here comes the snake and it talks to Eve. It says, has God really said you shouldn't eat that? Man, you know, just a bite, just take a lick. I mean, oops. He knows that when you eat it, that you'll have knowledge of good and evil. I don't know what evil is. Back and forth the conversation went until Eve was fully deceived and accepted what he said as truth. The Bible says the woman was deceived. The man was not. Here comes Adam home from the day doing whatever you do in the Garden of Eden. I don't know. Adam, look what I have here. I baked a fruit of the pie out of this thing, or here's some, whatever it is. And Adam, you can imagine Adam, look at it, Book of Kurt again, but please, it's all scriptural here. And he knew what it was, and he partook of it. It was a deception to Eve, but Adam did it with his eyes wide open. He knew it was in direct opposition to what God said to do, but he loved the woman. I don't know what he thought. I don't know if he had fear. Boy, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But he partook. When God came to see them in the cool of the day, Kurt, will you talk about Bible stuff? Yeah, we need some Bible stuff to talk about, stir up the dust in our brains and remember some of these things. And he found them and he said, what have you done? Well, he knew what they did, but they had to confess and tell him. Well, here's what happened, Lord. Eve said, Lord, it wasn't my fault. This snake here. He was talking to me. And he said this, and he said that, and he said that if we eat of this thing that we'll have knowledge of good and evil. We don't even know what that means, and they wouldn't know what it means. All they had was whatever it was, and they were enjoying it. But they found out real quick what evil is, because evil against God, rebellion against God, disobedience to God, quickly brought a shutdown to that whole operation, to the point that they were sent out into the world. They had to kill animals in order to eat and be clothed, and angels stood guard so they couldn't get back into the place. You'll have people that'll tell you, well, that's a mythical story. That's blah, blah, blah. No, there's plenty of other historical references and things that have been found that the world by their own standards has no explanation for it other than this. Just like Noah's Ark, it didn't exist. Yeah, it did. Let's go look at it today. I believe it. Do you believe it? We believe what God does. So here we are, now Adam and Eve, now they're going to know what faith is. But they didn't really know what it was until there was an opposition and everything changed around it. And I have confidence in things, faith and confidence. I got to have confidence to make a right decision. What is a decision anyway? But I'm going to do this. They got hungry. They had to kill these beautiful animals that they just were adorned with to eat it. Take the skin off of it and put it on their backs. Years and years and years and years they did that. They had children, their kids, they had bad kids, and they didn't believe in soft parenting. One killed the other. Here it goes off in another direction. Then the world, by that act of rebellion, handed the license to govern over to the prince of the power of the air here, to the devil. And now for us to respond and have any kind of life with meaning, we better find out what faith is, because we can't see God the way Adam and Eve did. And we can't guess at it. We want to seek the truth. Jesus said, if you seek the truth, you'll find it, and it'll set you free. And there are people who want to seek just enough of the truth to make them feel okay, but hang on to the other stuff just long enough, back and forth. And that's true of probably everybody in some form or another. But now we have to learn what this word faith means. We have to understand how it applies to us here today. And I want to talk a little bit about that as I move forward here. And I'm going to the next stage that I plan to go to, so I'm not off script just yet. Now faith is the substance. Now faith is. Now faith is. When is faith? Now. Tomorrow faith. Take no thought for tomorrow what you shall eat or drink or put on. For the Lord knows that even, you know, he knows what you have need of. Okay. Okay, Lord, now faith is. It's a present. It's an ever-present, always present. Not faith was, but is. It is the substance of things hoped for. Substance, something that is substantive, something that has texture, that has measure, it's measurable. It's all the things. Substance is whatever it can be. A rock is a substance. But if faith is the substance, why is it there something physical? Is it a lotion we can put on? Is it a fog we can walk through? What is it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope. Faith and hope. Some people live by the execution of their life, the moving of their life, you can tell that they're not sure what faith and hope is. They say they have faith, but they're just hoping they're on the right track. And then when something really bad happens, I mean something really blows up, maybe an accident here, maybe cancer comes into your home, then they start hoping really hard. And what I'm going to say now doesn't separate me from or you from anybody. This is all of us. I'm going to say it because I don't know that I've learned how to get past this, but I want to put it out here so you can see where we're coming from. We get something horrible like that, and we come forward and we ask people, can you use your faith and let's believe God for this person, for this healing? And now you pray really hard. You pray really hard. Don't forget. And don't forget to pray tomorrow and the next day. And we need to put it on a sticker so we pray all, you know, pray without ceasing, because that's what it's going to take. And then we go home and watch Batman or some show, some whatever, YouTubes or whatever. Our mind gets pulled away. I'm confessing today. But hey, maybe we're looking, you know, kittens riding the dogs around the house or whatever, maybe, whatever. But we need to help foster faith and shine this light bright enough that people have hope, that there's substance to their hope, that they know it's not just hoping. And you don't have to pray and pray hard and pray low. If you do that and if I do it, I understand what you mean. I'm not being critical of that at all. I'm not at all. But for so many things that God interacts with humans with, man, in our wisdom, we apply all earthly associations with it. I heard a preacher in Kentucky driving through Grant and said, now God's getting sick and tired of all this sin. He's going to take care of it. I remember thinking, is God sick and tired? What's that all about? Did he just figure this out? Did he just see this? And he's going to take care. I think he already did take care of it. And we apply human associations to what God did. And we can't even comprehend when he says his mercy endures forever. How long is forever? Forever. Oh, I don't know, Kurt. I messed up 3 or 4 times. And you know, I'm keeping notes. Sinned yesterday. Sinned twice a day. Cussed here. Prayed. Cussed while I was praying. Oh, my gosh. I'm just in bad shape. No, I don't do that in a book for myself, even though this is mostly about me. But we do those kind of things. Rhonda was sharing with me when she was young, and we had what we called Christ Ambassador rallies, CA rallies or revivals and stuff. Man, we go up to the altar every night because we might have sinned that day and keep us out of heaven. You know, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We'll talk about how faith made that happen in a moment. You accept it, and you start walking the world, and then you're faced with something, and you slip, or you do something accidentally. That's not quite, or you do something on purpose. Oh, I got to ask forgiveness again. I hope he'll still forgive me, whatever. It's not like that. You think it's easy when God causes a human being to be born again, not of corruptible stuff, but incorruptible by the living and eternally sufficient God, born again. And if I do make a mistake or a bad judgment, that's going to negate all of that. No, we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to read the owner's manual, learn what the words of the Holy Spirit is so we can understand what God's will is and do the best we can. And yet we're in a world where there's sin and there's going to be times you're challenged and you might not do just what you should. In fact, you might do something on purpose just because, man, I haven't done it in a while and I deserve it, whatever. You know how the devil lies. You know what temptations are. And he said, along with every temptation, I will make a way of escape so you can bear it. But he wants us to come boldly to his throne whenever those things happen to us. And the only way you can do it is to come by faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. We're going to read that in a minute. Now I'm getting off the track market. But what we need love, of course. Love is, God is love, right? And love never fails, right? But there's other things in the toolbox. Love is actually the preeminent because God is love. But faith is in there too. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But we need some faith people now who believe that the substance of their faith causes real things to happen in this real physical world. And we need to proclaim it. We need to say it. We need to act on it and take a stand eternally against those things. And as we pay attention to those things and we begin to learn, this is an issue they have. We're praying for him. We're praying for her. We're reaching out to her. All of a sudden, we're engaged in things that we don't have time to do the other stuff. That's where I want to go from here. I don't want to just keep digesting junk. If I digest the right thing, good things will happen. And what we're going to digest, here it comes. All right. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The elders obtained a good report. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that all things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, this wasn't written in English originally. And when you do a study on the original language, you kind of have to trust that they know what they're saying. And when I studied this a little bit, I didn't go in depth to find out the whole past where it came from. But the right grammatical order of this, it's not saying to us that we believe by faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's not what that sentence is saying, not entirely. It's saying that we understand that God used faith and spoke his words to frame or create the worlds and everything. He used his, and Genesis 1:1 is the proof of that. But we can read our translation of, by faith we understand. Well, I understand by faith. That's not what was trying to be said there. So God's faith created this. That's why he had to speak and things came into existence. Romans 10:8-10, this is how we were born again, it says, Romans 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not going to preach total confess it, possess it. I'm not going to be judgmental. People believe a certain way. I think thoughts about that have gone extreme in both directions, and people have been lost in the middle of it. There's confusion that happens with some people who take a very strong view of that. But the truth of it is this. What comes out of your mouth is what is in your heart in abundance. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if the abundance of my heart is I love Jesus, then my mouth will speaketh I love Jesus. If the abundance of my heart is I've read the word and hidden it in there, stuffed it. YouTube, no, let's get rid of it. Oh, look at those funny cats. We'll take that one in a little bit. Oh, no, the word. Then the word is what we hang our hats on in there. I have to say that the place I am spiritually, there was a place I was many years ago that's how it happened with me. I just fed on it. I just loved it. But like so many, everything is so instantly here now. We need a different battle plan. Not a war plan. The war is won, but the battle plan. We need a different way to think of this. And the way to think of it is that when we, in our heart, like salvation, believe, and how do we believe? We talk to the Lord. We read the word. Lord, make it real to me. I love you. Just worship you. That's where faith, the seeds of faith are. You believe it, and you feed that to the word of God to a point that you can't even hold it in anymore. And, I love Jesus. With the heart, man believeth. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth for healing. With the mouth, confession is made unto healing. Jesus was out walking around with his 12 disciples. I kind of look at them like, one of them's like Barney Fife or whatever. You go, Lord, let's cut his ear off. Or Lord, there's this little ragtag bunch. And he walked by a fig tree, nothing big, but somebody noticed it, whoever wrote it down, and he was looking for figs. He said, oh, no figs? Well, from this day forward, you'll not bear figs. And the Bible says it withered right then and there. And these people saw it and said, Lord, what does that mean? What's going on there? What's going on? He said, without faith is impossible. Well, here it is. Faith is essential to experience God's grace and his power, and confession from your heart will cause the physical to bow its knee. The physical to bow its knee. Do we believe that when we pray for healing, are we hoping really hard? Are we hoping really hard? Are we maybe fasting and praying as well? That's another element we don't hear a lot of, but there's value in it. The Bible says there's a great value in it. And there's reasons that things happen in the spirit world when we deny ourselves of that. But are we at that place? Or have we come to a place where we become callous, not cold and caring, but we don't see faith in a way that it can come out and make things happen. We read the scripture where he's in Matthew. The disciples came to Jesus privately and after he was trying to cast out of them and said, we couldn't cast it out. Jesus said, because of your unbelief, and assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move to here and there, and it will obey you. And nothing will be impossible to you. Man, I was part of a club that jumped all over anybody that would even say that. Why? Well, I've prayed and that mountain's still there. That mean I don't have faith? Now, wait a minute. There's a growing part to this. There's a part we don't even know. God still is providential, but he won't do anything against his word. So we have to trust. And trust is what? Faith? Okay, I got to hold on to trust here and have faith that it might not look like it's working out, but I know what God's word says. He said, you can say to the mountain if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, how many of us have read that scripture and always thought that he talked about having that teeny tiny little bit of faith? Just that little bit would do this. That's true. That's true. But you know what else is true? Earlier in the book of Matthew, he talked about planting seeds and how seeds grow and how you cultivate it and you water it and you wash it. And if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, if you plant it into the good ground of your heart, and it is tiny because it's just faith, it's just plain, believe in God, 100%, done. And we get frustrated with all the elements that we feel like we fall short. We got opposition here, but we have to fight that fight of faith. We have to push back against it. We have to use this faith, execute this faith, put it to work. Faith without works is dead. We need to put faith to work to fight and push back against these elements that come into our life that freely just flow in. They flow in. I wish that the word would flow into our lives the way this trash does. And I'm talking about it's all information. It's all words that get in the hearts of people. Did you know that faith and fear, I'll say it this way, but we have the expert on fear here, so I'll let him talk to me about it at some point. Faith and fear are virtually the same thing, fear being the corruption of faith. And here's, I'll make this point to you. It's other things as well, but faith and fear happen and they are executed by the same practice. Believing in your heart, you'll say it with your mouth, and then you will take action to do, to help allow those things to happen. We do it with fear all the time. Well, I'm just scared to death. I'll tell you, if you do this, something bad's gonna happen. I'm just gonna tell you right now, it's five times in my family. There's some generational curse, blah, blah, blah. I'm just so worried about. We do it that way all the time. With our heart, man believeth unto stupidity, and with the mouth, confession is made to execute said stupidity. That's what the devil does. That's how he was probably deceived, kind of by that type of a spirit of approach. It'll be okay. It's no big deal. Blood on Calvary's cross a big deal, then let's get it together. Well, if I could have done it by myself, I wouldn't need the Lord. Well, that's very true, but we have the Lord, so now what's our excuse? Well, I'm praying for that healing, but it's not coming. It's going to come, but I believe what it's going to get. Well, fig tree, mountain, cancer. I want to bring this home. Two pages will have to wait. What I want to do, saints, is I want us to be stirred with holy anger today, righteous indignation against the sin that's perpetrating our homes and our communities. And also I want us to focus today, there's a lot of other diseases, a lot of other illnesses, but I have heard the word cancer so many times, and I've never had in my body to deal with being told that I have any form of that. I thank God for that. Well, Kurt, it's kind of in your family, brother, this and sister, you might as well get ready. Shh. To say something good and positive isn't to deny the negative. Well, I'm healed. My leg's healed in Jesus' name. Say it. Do it. Write healing verses on a gauze and wrap your leg in it or wrap it around your neck. There's nothing mystical about it. There's no power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Just to remind you that this is a battle that we can win. How many of us, let's be honest just a minute. This is very sensitive, and please, I'm trying to be very sensitive to this. When you hear that someone has cancer, don't you get just a gut punch? Because society, you just get all this stuff that you've come flying into, how strong it is. It's not curable. Curable or not, it's debatable. There's other things happening here. But the fact is, we feel a certain way. Many times we posture ourselves a certain way, and we kind of ready ourselves for, well, if it don't quite work, but I'm going to do this. If it don't quite work, it's Jesus. So let's forget that part. Don't let that make you afraid of stepping out and saying, be healed in Jesus' name. I had a neck problem for 2 years, the last 2 years. I went to doctors. I got shots in my neck. I didn't even know I had a neck when I used to weigh 240 pounds. It just was kind of gone. But oh boy. And that's just where I can relate to Wanda. Can you still hear this? I think I pulled the power out of it. I couldn't turn my head that direction at all. Three pain management specialists. And does that make me a bad Christian? No, I prayed here and whatever. Whew, man. Jeanette. I'm here and I'm praying a couple weeks ago. I'm turning my head. And she came over and said, yeah, you're good. And there it is. That's what she said to me. There it is. Over here. Over there. I don't even hear Rice Krispies when I do it now. Do you know what I'm talking about, Rice Krispies? There is a healing. I'm going to give you another example of healing. My best friend growing up, his name was Eddie. I shared this before. I watched him severely sprain an ankle, and in the next couple days, he broke the other ankle. That day, he was home in bed with the cast. I caught up to him, and I said, we're going to write a song, Eddie, because we went to youth camps and ministered and so forth. So there we did. Blah, 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 blah. We got a song written called This Is the Man, the Meek Nazarene, who though he is humble has power supreme. He has power to give life, power to take, but he uses this power just for our sake. When life is over, with him we will stand. Having conquered all, this is the man. And back in the Jimmy Swaggart days of going to holiness churches, and I love it still, they used to write songs and they have a recitation with it. This is the man, Jesus. So I had a recitation. Eddie's on the bed with the guitar and some music he'd been playing. This is the man, Jesus Christ. He's the captain of our salvation. He is Lord and he alone. No power in existence can compare with his power. He's produced unshakable victory from total defeat. At the mere mention of his name, hope blossoms where there is no hope. Disease and sickness must release the bodies they've held captive. Even man's most feared, mysterious death is swallowed up in victory, conquered by the only name that's above every other day. And the day will come when Satan himself, the eternal enemy of man, will bow his knee, confess with his tongue, Jesus, your Lord. Where are you at, cancer? Oh, where are you at, broken bones? We got to that point in that song, and Eddie stopped playing, and woo! I thought, well, you're crazy, man. What? You better be still. His exact words, Kurt, I think I just got healed. He got up out of the bed, cast it. Watched it myself. The probably wasn't even dried yet. He went onto the front porch. This is in the hills of Virginia. We have toolboxes in the front porch and in the kitchen, wherever we need, you know. That's how we do it. I'm going to put this back on again. Just give me a second. He went out to that toolbox, and he grabbed a saw, and he cut the cast off. He didn't have a limp. He didn't stumble. And my first words of that great, beautiful manifestation of healing is, well, I can't believe it. And Jesus said, what? You can't believe it? Do you have faith the way you have a grain of mustard seed? Do you plant it and nourish it in your life every day so faith can grow? Well, you have, and this is what happens when you have. No credit to me, no glory to me. I'm just a vessel. I'm a mud pot. I had to be rebuilt and redone. Saw it with my own eyes. What a wonderful thing. I have other stories like that, but I want to bring it home to here. Are we tentative? Would you use the word afraid or just cautionary? That we don't want to attack things head on because we know how it historically is and probably what it's likely to be and what blah, 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 blah. And like I said, at the end of all of those things, it's still Jesus for the believer. And God is God and God is Lord. And he wrote in a book and he said that if you say to the mountain, be removed and don't doubt in your heart, it would be cast into the sea. It would be done to you. Nothing will be impossible, he said. Well, does that sound like a good mythical figure giving us good advice? Or is that a believer swinging the sword of the Word of God and said, it ends here and the good begins here? So I would like for us to be brave today. There won't be any judgment on the other side of this. Anything that comes out of here today, it's only going to be good, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And where two or three or 31 are gathered in his name, he's here right now. We're going to pray against cancer. We're going to pray. I do it every day. We want to see healing today. We want to believe healing. We don't want to believe what the physical evidence is. It don't mean you don't go to doctors. It don't mean any of that stuff. We've slung that stuff around so long. Well, if you go to a doctor, you don't believe in faith. Shh. Jesus said the whole need not a physician, but the sick do. But in addition to that good gift he gave the earth, there's this divine bam, healing. I want it. I want it for others. If I had it, I would want it really for others and me. Because we're human, and that's what we want. He said that we could give us the desires of our heart if we delight ourselves in the Lord. Delight, commit, and trust. Have faith in him. Have enough thing that we know that word's in our heart. Let's put it out here. Let's plant that thing. The seed in our heart's planted here. Put it out here. Let's put some light out here. And let's stand by it. We won't be condemned for it. And there's probably people who might still be with us if some form or another, maybe we folks wouldn't have been hesitant or fear. But fear will cause us, it'll cost us lives. Death is going to come to everybody at some point other than rapture, whatever that looks like. But until then, he said, fight the fight of faith. Not give in to what the world says is the norm. I have overcome the world, he said. I've overcome. How do you do that? By the blood of the Lamb and what? Word or testimony. Word, heart, mouth, word, cancer, die today. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand, please.